Nobody appreciates your sense of humor, you know?
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Bueller. Bueller.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Everybody bring Joe tonight.
Oh, gnarly!
Hey, where's the beat?
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV!
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Live from Members Only Studios, welcome to Living in the 80s, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s.
The best that we remember.
It's good to be back, isn't it, gentlemen?
It is.
It has been a little bit.
It's been a while since Matt and I have been here.
We had the monumental episode 100 together, and then since then we've had the best of, we did a couple Zoom things, but Kevin brought up something very interesting. He brought it to my attention, and we've been on a rabbit hole looking at this thing.
Well, really, you have been on a rabbit hole. Me and Mike's been over watching baseball, but...
Yeah, we're watching the Yankees disseminate the Indians.
Yeah, okay.
But there is a site that kind of measures listenership and things like that for podcasts. Living in the 80s is in the top 10% globally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
People know talent when they hear it.
They do. But for some reason, they listen to us anyway.
No, Rob, is that the top 10% in Grove City?
No.
No, Rob, is that the top 10% in Ohio?
I don't believe so.
Kevin, is it the top 10% in North America?
Absolutely not.
What's your name over there in the field? What's it the top 10% of?
The entire galaxy.
Yes.
The entire universe. Like, yes. The whole solar system.
The world.
We're in the top 10%.
That's impressive. I'm excited.
Where
Joe Rogan, look out. We're coming for you.
He's in the top 0.5%. Right? He's in the upper echelon.
We've got some work to do.
But good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So today's podcast, we're going to be talking about cheating songs of the 80s. We got together a while back, listed a list of topics, and this was on there. But for some reason, Kevin keeps bringing this back to our attention. Like, we can't let this one die before we actually do the podcast. And Kevin's not a cheating husband.
He's
a very
got an axe
loyal
to grind of some kind. It's going to come out today.
I think it's about to.
I don't. It's just there's so many cheating songs. It's like it seemed like every fifth song in the 80s was a cheating song. So.
Four of them are three are love songs. One's political. One's cheating.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
We're going to do that, but first,
80s Rewind.
This is a part of the show that we talk about something that we ran across this week, something very 80s that we remembered, want to bring back to the podcast. So, Matt, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, mine is actually not something that's happened already, but something that's going to happen. And it was a conversation that what I'm going to get my daughter for her Christmas present this year.
Is she listening?
I'm sure she is.
This will be the time she does.
Yeah, this will be the one podcast she checks out, which will really suck. But, you know, the whole Stranger Things phenomenon, all that stuff. Well, she really loved Max and all that kind of stuff. And so we had talked about, you know, different things, and so me and Rob got to talking, and he's like, you know, as we already said before, Rob's the mixtape champion, right? He makes all these mixtapes forever, so he's gonna make a mixtape of all the Stranger Things stuff. Then he's gonna make a couple CDs of just 80s music, because of Stranger Things, my daughter's all into 80s music now. And then he's gonna make a mixtape of the newer stuff, what we like to call crap. And she's going to he's going to make four different CDs. We got a buddy, Steve Culver, is going to put them into a cassette form. I'm looking at the cassettes right here. I'm pretty excited about that. And then we're going to buy her like a little Walkman, like a Sony Walkman. And then we're going to, you know, give her her own little Walkman for Christmas. So I think it's kind of cool. Then, you know, 2022, getting a Walkman and some cassette tapes. pretty cool.
Very cool. I'm going to follow that up with a stocking stuffer of a new pencil so she can fix her tape and know what to do with it.
I'm going to add on there if you want.
Why didn't you give me a pencil?
You'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, she'll find out.
That's great.
So for me, it's super neat because I get the chance to actually make a mixtape for the first time since probably the early 90s.
That's going to be sweet.
So that's going to be pretty epic. So my process is I'm going to put it on a CD. Steve's going to put it on a cassette. And we're going to give them to her that way.
It's going
to
be great. So, it is going to be great.
So you found a place that still sells Sony Walkmans?
You can buy them on Amazon pretty cheap, actually.
Really?
Yeah. You can get you. I mean, you can get them. But it's great. You can get them for like, you know, $15 to $25. But then you could get them for $400. It's ridiculous.
So if you want like the official Sony whatever, best quality, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, it's like $3.99, $2.99, stuff like that. But you can get one for $30, $23.
So then you got to buy the batteries too, the AA batteries.
I wonder if it's a 9-volt battery.
I'm sure it's probably two AA's.
Two AA's.
Nice. So make sure you go over to Harbor Freight or someplace because they got them cheap there.
There we go. Nice.
Another stocking stuffer.
The batteries.
Yes.
Batteries.
Just start giving her all the stocking stuffers first and just get her.
Here's a pencil and batteries. What are these foamy headphones for?
What?
Yeah. Snowball.
All right. Well, I hate to dwell on myself.
Do you?
So
please hold on a second. This is the first time we've had you on here since episode 100.
Yes.
Where we had the whole conversation, which your wife Misty verified, talking about the whole ankle bracelet incident. And we deemed that the number one most funny
moment
in the history of this podcast.
In the history of the podcast.
Yes, it is.
One of the top 10 podcasts on the globe, and you got the best moment. Your ankle brace is number one, baby.
That is true.
How does it feel to like give away your dignity so easily?
I don't think I gave away my dignity at all. I was actually rather proud of the number one ranking.
Here we go.
Wow. I mean, if you're not first, you're last.
Exactly.
I built my whole life on that.
Okay, let her rip.
So to recap what Rob was talking about, you know, we were talking about tight rolling our jeans and wearing our ankle bracelets and everything. So,
our ankle bracelets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My
ankle bracelet.
Just to be clear.
So for this evening.
Oh, no, he does not. Yeah!
There you go. Didn't get any better than that.
He tight rolled his jeans and he's wearing two ankle bracelets.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Those are little threads or something?
Yeah, we got a little cloth pattern here. A little pink, a little blue, gray.
Is there some K-Swiss with that? What are you wearing? What shoes you got on? I can't see.
You know, I don't know what brand they are, but they look really good.
Somebody take a picture. That's,
hold on, this is going to go on the...
That's going on the page.
Oh, yeah, get them straightened out.
Get a tight roll there. Bring it down a little. There it is. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's...
So, for you guys, I do these things. I wouldn't do that normally. But for you, I'll do it.
Well, we appreciate it.
That's just ridiculous. We love and appreciate it. The fact that you have no dignity or shame and that you will do these kind of things for us.
When I left the house tonight, my youngest son goes, "What are you wearing?" I'm like, "It's fashion camo." He's like, "Why are your pants rolled up?"
He has a camo shirt.
It's called FAMO.
That's right, it's FAMO.
Wow.
Fashion camo.
Oh, Kevin, help us.
Well, that's really hard to follow that up.
Oh, that's so great.
But I saw yesterday that there is a sequel to one of our beloved
Christmas.
80s Christmas movies.
Yes, I saw it yesterday.
Die Hard 15. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, wait, what?
That would be great.
Yes. No, actually, a Christmas story. There's a
Christmas Stories Christmas or something.
Yeah, and it's coming out on HBO Max in November. The original came out in 83, even though it looks like it came out in the 50s or 60s. And Ralphie will be back.
How many of the originals?
As an adult, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Ralphie's coming back. I think they said Scott Farkas is coming back. They mentioned a couple of people, but obviously the dad's not coming back.
Yeah, the dad passed away.
So Gavin, he's not coming back then.
As far as we know.
Some CGI hologram.
And the trailer was really light on details. It kind of showed the lampshade and, like, he's back at the house. It shows him putting on his glasses, and you can tell he looks just like Ralphie, except he's older.
That's great.
I saw the teaser trailer. It showed him, you know, as Ralphie, the kid with the glasses on, and then it morphs into him as an adult, and you can still see him. You know, Peter Billingsley showed up in some things. So, yeah, that'll be. I'm very excited. I will subscribe to HBO for a month just to watch that.
I don't know if anybody's watched Four Christmases.
Yes,
he's in that.
Yes, at the airport.
Yes, yeah, he's working at the ticket counter. So
He's also an elf.
Is he an elf also?
Yeah, he's one of the head elves.
I didn't catch him in that one.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
So he pretty much gets a cameo in every Christmas movie.
Yeah, he owns Christmas. He is Ralph. All right, for me, like a lot of people, we'll sit and watch these 80s movies. So I caught one last week, and I thought, you know what? I have not seen About Last Night since probably the late 80s, early 90s. So I watched it. So Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, they get together. They have a one-night stand, and it blossoms into love, and they move in together, yada, yada, yada. But the 80s moment for me is there is a song that was played in the movie by Bob Seger called Living Inside My Heart. I'd never heard the song before. I thought, this song sounds fantastic. So I'm sitting there on looking up Apple Music, and it's not there. I'm like, huh, that's crazy. Not on Spotify, not anywhere else. So I was able to find it on YouTube and, you know, morph it over to a MP3. And here's just a little sample.
You can take your midnight rambling boys, and you can keep your winding roads. She's living inside my heart now. Living inside.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Was that not on any of his albums? Was it just on the
any album? It was apparently on that soundtrack, which is out of print, unavailable. Mm. But no one has ever like moved it to digital or done anything like that with it. So, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. All right, so we're going to take a brief time out. And when we come back, we are going to talk about our favorite 80s cheating songs. Hang tight. Welcome back to Living in the 80s. As promised, we're going to talk about cheating songs of the 80s. But before we do that, because we talk so much about music around here, and I kind of feel like we've been leaving TV and movies out a bit lately, let's talk about some movies that some cheating went on.
Cheat movies.
Yeah. What cheating movie comes to mind first when you guys think about the 80s?
Fatal Attraction.
Oh, absolutely. Number one. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
So the synopsis of this movie, Michael Douglas and Glenn Close have a one-night stand, but when Michael Douglas decides to stay with his wife, Glenn Close doesn't take it very well. And very violent things happen. So fellas, we're giving you some good advice here. No one-night stands. You never know who you're sleeping with and how crazy they may be.
Yeah, I think that put a lot of fear in guys back then, because it's like, this could very easily happen. You might hook up with someone that's slightly deranged and you don't know it, and then next thing you know, your family's being threatened and you're being threatened. And
that movie's a poster child for faithfulness.
Yeah.
I think cheating in the 80s went down a lot after 1987 when the movie was released.
That was just...
And seriously, he went from a 8-9 down to a 5, you know? For rating, his wife versus, you know, Glenn Close's character.
Oh, yeah, that's true. His wife was a lot prettier. Makes you wonder.
What was he thinking?
What was he thinking?
He wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking. Obviously.
Another one I found here, I've never seen it before, but Sex, Lies, and Videotape. You guys seen this? James Spader, Andy McDowell, Peter Gallagher.
No.
I feel like I may have, like, back in the late 80s, but I couldn't. I think they were videotaping themselves. I think with the...
Yeah, so basically everybody's cheating on everybody else. Like Andy McDowell is married to Peter Gallagher, and her sister is Laura San Giacomo, which you've seen her in stuff before.
Yeah.
And that's her sister, but Peter Gallagher's sleeping with her too, and then James Spader is sleeping like with both women too, or something. And I don't know, it gets kind of crazy. So basically, everybody cheats on everybody in the videotape. But that's all you need to know. So, kind of sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Last American Virgin.
Oh.
Yeah.
From 1982.
Yeah, that this one was
is a classic movie.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking.
Yes, it was. So, Karen. Diane Franklin, who plays Monique in Better Off Dead, if you're wondering who she is. She has this friend who is Gary, played by Lawrence Monsoon. You don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And his best friend is Rick, who's Steve Anton. You don't know who he is either. Basically, Karen and Rick are together. Rick gets Karen pregnant. Gary goes with her to get the abortion. They get together, and everything's going great. It's her sweet 16 party. He comes in. There's Karen making out with Rick.
What?
That is the worst.
And that's the way the movie ends.
Yeah.
That's well, what it ends.
The movie ends with Gary driving away, like, just looking heartbroken. Oh, no, by the Commodores is playing.
I want you to want me. I'm going crazy knowing he will be your lover tonight.
Oh, my gosh. You just, if you watch it back in those days, like, he's about, you know, he's about my age back mm-hmm. then. It's like, that was a tough one. I'm like, crap.
Yeah, that was tough.
St. Elmo's Fire. There was some cheating going on there. You guys, I just watched it the other night. So, Ally Sheedy, Judd Nelson, Andrew McCarthy. Leslie is played by Ally Sheedy. She's dating Judd Nelson. He asked her to marry him, and she's like, no, I don't think I'll marry you. But then she goes and sleeps with Andrew McCarthy. Like, in movie time, 2 minutes later, but it's supposed to be like later that night. So, yeah, more cheating going on there. Wow. And it almost cost Andrew McCarthy his life. Well, not his, like, not him personally, but Kevin, his character, because Judd Nelson almost kills him.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, crazy. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
One of the most famous cheating ever. So we got Jennifer Jason Leigh, Robert Romanus, and Brian Backer. Two out of three of those we never hear from again. But so Stacy cheats on Rat with his best friend, Damone.
So yeah, that was the tough part. Yeah, they're best friends.
Not cool.
Best friends.
Was it really cheating because they weren't really committed?
They were committed, though.
Are you sure they're?
They committed? Were looking at the yearbook photos together.
That don't mean you're committed.
That if you're in the bedroom and you're looking at yearbook photos and she's wearing her bathrobe, that's commitment to me.
Okay,
boys.
But I can see your argument, Mike. She tried to make a move on him. He kind of resisted. So she's like, maybe he's not into me. She confides in her friend. She doesn't know if he's that into her. Really, it's just because he's shy. And his friend tries to help him out and say, hey, he really likes you. And she's like, yeah, but I think I like someone else. So,
next thing you know, cue up Jackson Brown.
Yep.
Damone. What kind of friend would do that?
Yeah, well, I think of one.
Do tell, Kevin. You've been dying to. That's why you keep bringing this thing up.
It's not.
Okay.
I did have a girlfriend back in the 80s. We had been together for a month or two.
You loved her, so.
No. I didn't love her. I liked her. And I found out that she cheated on me.
What?
The audacity.
With Rob.
What?
Somebody broke the bro code.
The broken.
Well,
now Rob's got justification here.
So here's the thing.
You're making excuses for him.
You
want me to hold
his punches
right now?
I was also dating somebody.
Oh,
you double cheated.
Which makes it right. Two negatives.
Yeah.
So she comes to me and starts like getting all flirty and fooling around. I'm a man. I'm weak.
So just like it sounds, just like Fast Times.
Now we didn't do it.
Yeah,
but you know we
definitely made out.
We made out. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so they end up breaking up, and so I started dating her myself, probably. Okay, here's the thing. Kevin did so many rules already. Kevin didn't really care about her that much anyway, and when I dated her for a couple months, and then I broke up with her, so, you know. I always tell him, Kevin, I did you a favor.
He does say that, and I will say this. I'm way better off with Diana. No matter what happened in the past, where I ended up is so great that any bad past relationship, no big deal.
I actually thought of a movie now. The movie Class.
I remember it.
I had to double check. 1983. He's a goofy, I don't know, is he living in a boarding school?
Yes.
Rob Lowe's is, Andrew McCarthy's living in a boarding school. Roommate's Rob Lowe. And he has a hard time with the ladies. And then I don't remember how it happened, but he ends up hooking up with this older lady in a elevator.
Yes.
I believe at a hotel, and it turns out to be Rob Lowe's mom. Mm.
He doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know. They go home, he brings them home like for Christmas yeah. And it's like,
hello.
And it just comes out.
Oh, wow.
Eventually, and yeah.
Awkward. That's a good premise.
Well, it's a terrible movie. But yes, yeah, so she cheated on her husband.
Yes, she did.
Yes. So Kevin, since you are the person that thought this was your idea, talk to us about why cheating songs. I know you talked about it briefly earlier, but lead us into our conversation.
I have mentioned this before. I listened to a lot of the 80s on 8 countdowns on Sirius XM, and I hear Alan Hunter and Mark Goodman a lot of times saying, oh, here's another cheating song from the 80s. And I just started thinking, there are a bunch of them. You know, it seemed like every podcast would be two or three of them. And some of them really, really popular songs, some which, if you don't really stop and think about it, you don't realize that's a cheating song.
Right.
And I said, well, you know what, that's probably a podcast we could do to kind of talk about some of these cheating songs that are out there that are pretty popular.
Agreed. And one thing that I notice is we bring up Sirius XM and 80s on 8 often.
Yeah.
Do they realize a podcast that's in the top 10 percentile of the country
brings them up so regularly.
Yeah. You know, we're big time. Maybe we shouldn't mention them by name anymore until they start paying
maybe
us.
Maybe they shouldn't mention us.
Yeah, we're going to start getting cocky now.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start with Snowball. We're going to go around the table one at a time. We're going to take three rounds around the table. Mm-hmm. This is going to be our dirty dozen, our cheating dozen.
Okay.
Cheating dozen.
So like dozen. So we need to name the song, the artist, and why it's a cheating song.
All right.
Snowball, let's start with you.
All right. Well, my first cheating song is performed by Marcel Theo Hall.
Otherwise known as?
Biz Markie. And his song was Just a Friend.
You got what I need. But you say he just a friend, and you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need.
I love it. I love his passion. I love that he doesn't care that he can't sing. I love that he goes into stupid little details on the size of her pants to getting a visitor's pass from the guard station at the college.
Classic.
Just a couple little facts about this song. It reached number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100. Was voted number 81 on VH1's Greatest One-Hit Wonders. And the chorus, You Got What I Need, was actually a 1968 recording by Freddie Scott.
No kidding.
No kidding.
That I did not know. I did not know that.
You dropped some musical knowledge.
Yes, you did.
Probably about my other favorite part, because this is a breakup song, that he gives her zero credit, that he just refers to her as blah, blah, blah.
Forget about that. Let's go into the story about our girl named blah, blah, blah that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar.
No name.
Your name is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Kevin.
So my first one, this song also went to number 9, is The Rain by Orange Juice Jones.
There we go.
Walking in the rain, you will hold your hands and I, never be the same.
Kevin, when we had this podcast, we named the topic, I knew you were going to use that song.
Had to. This song is classic. So this is the truth. At least once a week when Dinah comes home from work, I ask her, did you miss me today? And she said, yes. And I said, I missed you too. I missed you so much, I followed you today. I say that at least once a week. And then we have a laugh and then go on about the evening. Yeah, basically this song is about he spots his woman out with another man. I don't know if he's following her, if he's hiding behind a bush, but he does see her at some point.
Hiding behind a what?
A bush. But he sees her walking with somebody in the rain and feels like, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. Goes home, packs all of her stuff up, and then confronts her with this great rant at the end of that song. I love the whole, you without me is like cornflake without the milk.
Why don't we just play that?
You're gonna find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, know what you gotta do? You gotta get on out of here with that alley cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing, crumb cake I saw you with. Cause you dismissed. That's right. Silly rabbit tricks are made for kids. Did you know that? You without me like cornflake without the milk. It's my world. You just a
Love it.
Yeah, that song's a classic.
Yes, it is.
I did learn one thing. I always thought his name was Orange Juice Jones.
Jones. So his name's Orange Jones, and somebody decided somewhere along the way to call him Juice.
Yes.
And he refers to himself in the third person when he says, you was messing with the juice. Silly rabbit, tricks are made for kids. I mean,
that's good stuff. That is
classic 80s right there. Yeah. Like, that song in any other decade, not have worked.
Had they not added that ending to that song, it would have been just an okay song. Like, yeah. It was like, I'm going to listen to the song just so I can hear that ending.
Yes.
It's always so funny.
great stuff. Hilarious. Matt.
I went with the blatant cheating song. I mean, if you're wondering if the song's about cheaters or not, this was not the one. It's called Secret Lovers. By Atlantic Star.
Secret lovers, yeah, that's what we are. Try so hard to hide the way we feel. Cause we both belong to someone else, but we can't let go. Cause what do we feel is also
I mean,
that's a love song, isn't it?
That's a yes, maybe to some. Came out in 1985, and this is just a blatant song about we should not be doing what we're doing, but we're gonna keep on doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, I believe it's like their spouses are like friends and.
Yes,
you know, they hang out together.
Yes.
Some of the lines, they're trying to hide the way they feel, because what we feel is so, also so real.
So real.
So real.
Can't beat that.
Nope.
I like the, just say that's a blatant cheating song, and but that's just the, yeah. And it's just so pretty and.
Right.
It's a beautiful song. A lot of times, it's one of those songs that just play, and you think, oh, that's a pretty song.
It sounds nice.
That's a nice song.
Play this at our wedding.
It's gentle and right. Soft.
It's gentle and soft.
Gentle and soft.
Then you listen to the words, and you're going, what the crap?
Right, right.
Are we just...
Yeah. What are these people doing?
So there you go. That's my first one.
It's a good one.
What's yours, Rob?
So... This podcast could have been done, I think, just by Ray Parker Jr. songs.
Mm-hmm.
True. So, my song today...
Ghostbusters. Nothing says cheating like Ghostbusters songs.
He does say, Bustin' makes me feel good. Saying. So, in the 80s, Ray Parker Jr. was kind of a ladies' man. But if you're a girl, and you are going to date Ray Parker Jr., and you hear all of his music, you gotta know the guy's gonna cheat on you sooner or later. I'm gonna read you some of the lyrics here of some Ray Parker Jr. song. First one is Bad Boy. So here are some of the lyrics to Bad Boy. I've been a bad boy. Now I want to come back home. I admit that I was messing around, playing Macho Man and being cool. But all along, you knew right from the start, she was just playing me for a fool. Now that the love affair is over, here I come running back to you. So go ahead, girl, and punish me, because I deserve to be hurt too.
Wow.
Yes. And so he says, so come on, spank me, whip me, let me come back home.
I don't want to know what's in their closet.
I have. That's one Ray Parker Jr. song. The other one that very well could have been on this one too is A Woman Needs Love Just Like You Do. So basically it's about the woman stepping out and, you know, giving him his own medicine. But for our podcast today, I'm going to go with The Other Woman by Ray Parker Jr. Now I hate to have to cheat, but it feels better when I sneak. Oh, I'm in love. I'm in love with the other woman. I'm in love. My life was fine till she blew my mind.
Yeah, baby. Right,
come on. Oh, shucks. I'm just the average guy. I fooled around a little on the side.
I think I like that part. I'm just the average guy. Everyone does it. Or most guys don't. The average guy does this.
That's right.
He's trying to convince himself.
Right, exactly.
It's so, okay. Guys like this scorn ladies in the 80s.
You know? Ladies in the 80s.
Like just based upon his cheating ability.
And bank account.
Yep. Bank account, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, good. So he's no Orrin Juice Jones. No. He's, you know, Orrin was the victim and Ray was not.
That's Ray. Right.
So, crazy stuff. All right, we're going to be right back after this brief timeout, and we will finish up the podcast with two more rounds.
Thank you for listening to Living in the 80s. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of those that helped make this possible. First and foremost, we want to thank Anchor for providing this platform for us to share this podcast. We also want to thank Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and about a dozen others. We also want to give a special thank you to star1079.com and Roundtown Radio, where you can hear this podcast weekly. Also, be sure to check us out at our website at livinginthe80s.us and, of course, on our Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Thanks, and back to the show.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We are one-third of the way through our list of cheating songs.
Cheating songs in the 80s.
But you know, here's the thing. We've chosen not to use any country songs, which would have opened up a whole floodgate of thousands of other songs.
That's true. That's true.
So when was that Your Cheating Heart? That's like
the 40s or 50s.
I know it's like Hank Williams, 60s. Mm-hmm.
Which is a very good song. It's a classic. Cheating Heart.
We'll tell the basis of all cheating songs.
Right? Yes, it started with that.
Yeah.
For this round, we're going to start with Matt and swing it around this way. So we'll go the opposite way of the circle. Matt, what's your next song?
My second song is going to be Jesse's Girl by none other than Richard Springfield. Yeah, he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Why can't I find a woman like that? The greatest singer of all time. 1981, this came out. And the reason this song popped in my brain is because it really hit home with some friends at school at the time. We had about 10 or 12 of us. We had a nice little clique of friends. And two of them started dating. And I'm sure they probably don't listen to this either. But I believe it was... I don't know which one that... I believe it was Brian and Paula were dating. I'll just leave the first names there. And they had a nice little... You know, they were a couple. It was Brian and Paula. Well, then here comes my buddy Todd. And then next thing you know, it's Todd and Paula. And it was just this whole best friends. I mean, because we were all close friends. I think most of them ended up dating each other throughout the run of school. But in the very beginning, it was like, that was like a pretty serious relationship. Oh, now they got a pretty serious relationship. And this song was just kind of like the backdrop for a lot of that. And I'm going, oh, that's just kind
it's
of
trippy. Like prophecy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just kind of, this reminds me of watching that unfold in our school hallways, which is pretty daggone cool. I like, I mean, and again, this song doesn't sound like a sad, it's not a sad song. It's a fun up tempo. It's a great song. Don't pay attention to it. It's just a good song. But this dude just wants Jesse's girl. And I like the thing he says, where can I find a woman like that? Well, I'll tell you where. At Jesse's house.
Because there she is.
That's his girlfriend.
That's exactly where she
that's
is.
That's where she's at. I don't know where you're looking because she's over there with her boyfriend. but yeah, that's kind of the lines in that are pretty funny. You kind of get a glimpse of his arrogance. I'm looking in the mirror all the time, wondering what she don't see in me. I've got ankle bracelets on. Right. Come on. I'm wearing FAMO here. How can you not see
exactly
this? So I knew you would get it, right?
I would, yes.
So, but yeah, I just thought that was kind of funny. But and I think if we look at our friend groups, we probably, you know, anytime you got 10, 12 friends stick together, there's going to be some...
So I got to throw this question out. Rob, you're not allowed to participate in this question. So what is the dead period on a friend who's broke up with a girl that you want to date?
What's the bro code?
Yeah. I would say it depends on the age. If you're a teenager, it's maybe 3 weeks. If you're an adult, it should probably be a little
longer. I think there are a lot of factors. I think there's age. I think there's length of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got to talk to your bro.
How close a bro is he? That's another factor. Is he just a dude in the circle? Is he Kevin? You know, I don't know.
I mean, it's tough because back then it was about trying to see how many people you can kiss or whatever. Yeah. Just very, very nice, nothing crazy.
Very innocent.
Innocent, mostly. And so, I mean, there's only so many, you know, ladies on the south end of Columbus.
There was so many girls that you could pass around. Yeah.
There seemed to be an understanding.
And passing around sounds terrible. It wasn't like that. But I mean, it was kind of weird to be dating someone for a few months and then find out after you broke up that maybe, your buddy's making out with her at the Cardos.
Because he wishes he had Jesse's girl.
See that? It's all about Jesse's girl. So
it all comes back.
I wonder what the timeline should be.
My timeline would be if he's just one of the dudes, you know, pretty much as fast as I can get to the phone. I'm not going to break him up. But once I get word that it's over, then I'm going right to the phone.
Watch out!
Okay, so if it is a good friend and the girl absolutely shreds his heart, I think she's off limits for life.
I think it's one week for every month they dated.
I think you've already thought about this.
He's prorated.
I'm a numbers guy.
Like, if something happened to, even back then, because there was a couple circumstances where I may have had the opportunity with some girls that, you know, were close with friends of mine, I wouldn't date them.
And that's
fair. So I guess it depends on what the potential is there.
Exactly.
Because I know Diana was dating someone before me. I liked her.
Here we go.
I went on a date with her.
Did he have a truck?
He did have a truck. And
I know who this is.
And I remember I went out on a date. It wasn't really a date. I told her we were just hanging out with some friends. But I kind of pretended in my head it was a date. It really wasn't.
It was a date to you.
It was a date to me. She just didn't know about it. And I kind of was scared to ask her out a second time. And in between that scaredy cat time, she starts dating somebody else.
Right.
I'm like, I blew it. So I was in a car with him one day and was asking him, how's this relationship going? And he said, I think I just would be really friends. I said, you should tell her tonight.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I said,
I'll tell her for you. Let's call her right now.
And we were heading back to a dance that night or whatever. And I said, you should probably tell her tonight. He goes, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So I'm glad he liked my advice. So he had a talk with her. And then about 20 minutes later, I was dancing with her.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. So I'm going to break protocol here. I'm going next.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Because I will dedicate this song to Kevin.
Oh, no.
This is LL Cool J with I'm That Type of Guy.
You're the type of guy that can't control your girl. You try to buy love with diamonds and pearls. I'm the type of guy that shows up on the scene and gets the 7 digits. Huh. You know the routine. You're the type of guy.
This is the ultimate cheating song. Because LL is that sneaky, freaky brother coming in from the rear. That's Kevin.
Yeah, he's coming
that
after
that is Kevin. Yeah. It's like, oh, you should break up with her tonight.
Sitting in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Why don't you dump her?
So here are some of the lyrics. You're the type of guy to give her money to shop. She gave me a sweater. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm that type of guy. Kevin LL Cool K.
Yeah, that's
another nickname that you now have. So yeah, that was a top 15 hit in 1989. I've always loved it. Just a little forewarning, it is not a G-rated song. So do not listen to this around your kids or grandkids, because they will be mortified and ask you all kinds of questions. What's this mean? So that, I'll just leave it right there.
That's funny.
Okay, Snowball.
All right. Nothing says, it's really a good sing-along cheating song. You don't have too many sing-alongs.
No, you don't.
No. This one, though, my man Rupert Holmes.
Huh.
The escape song, most people know by the Pina Colada song.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song.
Now, a lot of people probably think that's a 70s song.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds very 70s.
Kind of a 70s song. It was actually the number one song the final week of 1979 and the number one song of the first week of 1980.
So I think it would qualify as an 80s song.
Yes, then. It does qualify as an 80s song. My first question is, have any of you gone through the personal ads to get a date?
No, but I've read them before, but yes. Back when it was in the newspaper, just to see the funny lines people would use to try to, like, meet somebody.
And so he's in bed, he's reading the personal ads, and his lady's laying right there, so he decides to answer this personal ad. Well, comes around, they meet up at a bar called, what, O'Malley's?
Yes.
Yeah.
At a bar called O'Malley's.
Yes. Yeah. And it turns out to be his own old lady.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain.
So they're both looking to cheat and get out of the relationship.
They realize you're better with what you got.
Yeah, nice little twist there at the end of that song.
Yes, it is.
They like pina coladas.
Getting caught in the rain.
Yeah.
And you know what? I like that song. Always have. Even back in the day, I liked it. It's a yacht rock classic today.
Yes, it is.
It's always in the yacht rock countdowns of songs of great yacht rockness.
Yep.
So, all right, Kevin.
My second cheating song went to number one. It was a big hit. If you don't listen to the words, you'd have no idea. Or maybe you would because of the title. Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder.
If he's with me, I think the life.
Kind of a beat, you know?
So,
I love that song. It's a happy cheating song.
This song is like a master class in how to cheat.
Yes.
I mean, if you read the lyrics, it's like, he's like, I'm going to call up once and hang up the phone, let you know I made it home, right? So they've got this system. I'll call you, I'll hang up before you have a chance to answer. If I'm with my woman, I'll blink the lights to let you know tonight's the night. So it's like, this is all about, here's our code. If you see me with my friends, just pass by. Don't speak to me. Act like you don't even know me. It's So just brutal. If there's an emergency, have a male friend ask for me. So, you know, a male friend calls up, can I talk to so-and-so, then hands it to the woman, and then the wife has no idea.
Yep.
So the nice thing with this song is there's a little twist at the end.
What's the twist, Kevin?
The twist
is that he finds out she's cheating on him.
What?
So he says, last night someone rang our doorbell, and it was not you, my part-time lover. So it was somebody else. And then a man called our exchange, apparently our phone, and didn't want to leave his name. And he says, I guess two can play the game of part-time lover. So Stevie Wonder didn't see it coming.
What? He sets it up. Boom. Knocks it down.
So Stevie is cheating, but his woman is cheating on him too.
Yes.
He was blind to it.
He just came out of nowhere.
Love is blind.
That's right.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was nice. That's a good tie in there. All right.
So we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to be back for our last round of cheating songs.
Thank you for listening to Living in the 80s. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of those that helped make this possible. First and foremost, we want to thank Anchor for providing this platform for us to share this podcast. We also want to thank Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and about a dozen others. We also want to give a special thank you to Star1079.com and Roundtown Radio, where you can hear this podcast weekly. Also, be sure to check us out at our website at livinginthe80s.us and, of course, on our Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Thanks, and back to the show.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s, finishing up our cheating songs today. And we're going to start with Snowball this time, work our way back around, and what you got?
Well, I actually crossed over into the country realm there, Matt Moore.
What?
Yeah. My Lady Sylvia, Nobody.
I have always hated that song.
Really?
Yes, it drives me nuts.
I've always loved this song.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Talk about it. You picked it.
Oh, I thought your hating was off script.
Oh, no, the hating was on script. I do hate that song.
Okay, sorry. So, do you want to start with your hating again?
I could never stand that song.
Really?
Yeah, it just kind of drives me nuts.
Oh, I mean, Sylvia.
She was cute.
She's hot.
Yeah.
How you cheating on Sylvia? That's my first question.
That's the question.
That's what I want to know.
It's probably Stevie Wonder.
Good, man. I had to be blind. So this is a cheating song. She's married, and she keeps asking her husband, who is that? They'll pass somebody. He gives that little smile at the lady walking by. She'll be like, who's that?
Nobody.
It's nobody. Then somebody calls, and he asks for a name. Hangs up. Who was that? Oh, it's nobody.
Nobody.
Oh. You're nobody called today. Poor guy doesn't like it. He sure can sing it.
He sure can. Hey,
just because I hate it don't mean I don't know it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I've always liked that song. I think it's a great...
It is a great song. It reached number 15 in the Billboard Hot 100 in 1982.
You know what else did?
I'm the type of guy that loves a dedicated lady. The boyfriends are boring, and I can drive them crazy.
All right. Yes.
So that's all I got on that one. Kevin.
My third and final is Run to You by Bryan Adams, which made it to number 6.
I love that song.
Yeah, and he seems like he's...
Much better than Sylvia.
He seems to be in a great relationship. He's talking about how she's got a heart of gold, but he just cannot resist the temptation of this other woman. So this, I believe they said on... Well, I can't say it, but that Sirius XM station. Until they start paying us.
That's right.
That this is like the classic cheating song, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in a great relationship, and he's talking about how wonderful she is, but this other woman is just too hot to pass up. So yeah. It's a good song.
I didn't realize that was a cheating song.
Yeah.
I thought it was a workout running song.
If you watch the video, the one he's running to is actually his guitar. So you see him like picking up his guitar and playing it like that's the other woman. But the lyrics, clearly, he's not talking about a guitar. Yes.
That's good.
What about you, Matt?
My last one would be the song Tempted by Squeeze. Came out in 1981.
Tempted by
is a great song.
That is a good song. I that song.
I pick just, nothing but great songs. I don't know why I don't get credit for my selections.
Anyway. I don't know. I don't know why you don't either. You should get much more credit for that songs that you bring up.
this song here is a very nostalgic for me because there was I had a girlfriend I was dating there for a little while, and. Before I started dating her, a bunch of fellas, we decided to go on a cruise. We got about 5-6 dudes, and we're all going to go on a cruise. And this was back in some single days for me, a different time of life for me. A lot of alcohol consumption during this short window of time. It was a different
looser day. Morals.
Looser. That's a good. Yeah, they were pretty loose. So we're on this cruise, and so we already planned this cruise, bought this cruise, paid for this cruise, waiting on to get here, and like a couple of weeks before the cruise comes, I hook up with this gal, and we become, you know, friendly. And I wouldn't say we were like a serious committed relationship, but you know, we were together, right? But I got this cruise ticket with these guys, and so like, I gotta go, right? So I go, but I'm gonna be faithful. Yeah, you know, because I'm gonna be faithful. So I go to the cruise and I'm trying to be good. And the guys I was with, they didn't try so hard to be good. they didn't try at all.
And they didn't help you very much.
They did not. They were just, and I mean, it was
debauchery.
It was a lot of that going on, and there was just a lot of alcohol, hours of power. There was all kinds of stuff. But there was this. We met these gals, and she this one guy. She just got. This is I'm not proud of this. She just got married herself, but the work had did this cruise thing. So she's here with a few gals, and she's been married like a couple months. I'm dating somebody for a couple months. but our groups kind of intermingled, and nothing bad happened. Nothing bad happened.
Good.
But
I was wondering where the stories are going.
Right, I was too.
But there was some attraction there, a little flirty, I was trying to be good, so she was being good, and so we happened to be in an elevator together, and so she had a Walkman on, or you know, a little thing, and so we get off in the Walkman. She says, "Here, oh, it was the earbud." She goes, "Here, listen to this." And she takes her earbud out, puts one in my ear. She's got one in her, and she plays this song. And I'm going, "Shut!" So we're walking down this cruise ship, and I'm hearing this song being played. I'm going, "Shut the front door!" So I mean, it was a very, very tempting moment.
Situation. Yes.
Yeah.
I am glad that you didn't. You weren't too tempted by the fruit of another.
No, and we did. We were very good. I mean, there's no. It was good. However, but it was just a lot of temptation. That song hits the spots there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was,
you know, as a great suggestion, I would say when you make that mixtape for Grace. Yeah.
Oh, I should put Tempted on
you
there.
You should put Tempted on there.
I think I should.
Then she can say, "Dad, listen to this song." And
oh, shut up.
And then it'll be like,
I'm telling you,
reliving it all over again.
In all honesty, man, that was one. You know, there's certain moments in your life. It's kind of like a movie. That was probably one of the most movie-like scenes. Gonna be stepping off an elevator, just her and I. Here, listen to this. And it was just like going, It was playing out like really. It was kind of crazy. But
wow, better you than me, man.
Better, yeah, yeah. So there you go.
That is quite a story.
It was very interesting. It was good.
It's a good thing you pooped your pants and you know had to go back to your room. Right? Oh man.
All right, so my last song doesn't have a story. It is an all-time 80s classic from one of my personal top 10 albums of the 80s. It's from High Infidelity by REO Speedwagon. This is Take It on the Run.
You take it on the run, baby. If that's the way you want.
So why is this a cheating song? Listen to the opening lyrics.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
You've been messing around.
That is all the ingredients of a cheating song.
Sounds like a rumor to me.
So always loved this album, this song. Just it was a great song, very very big hit back in the day, and. Whenever it comes on now, it's again one of those songs that I got to listen to all the way through. If I'm in the car or something, yeah, got to listen to it. So, yeah, no big story there, but that's the cheating song.
Definitely cheating song.
That's our dirty
song. So, do we have any honorable mentions that we would like to bring up that didn't quite make it?
You know, I really went back and forth on this song. I was going to do Our Lips Are Sealed, which is a cheating song. So Jane Wiedlin, I think is the guitarist in Go-Go's, had an affair with Terry Hall, who was in Fun Boy 3.
Yes.
He was in a relationship. They had this short affair, and then when she got back to the States, he sent her some of the lyrics, which eventually became Our Lips Are Sealed. And it's all about them keeping a secret what they're doing. The band got a hold of it, pepped it up, and you'd have no idea it's a cheating song. That's what it was born from.
Yes, and they both sang it. Go-Go sang it.
Yes,
and Fun Boy 3 sang it also. They were like hits on different continents because the Go-Go song was never big there. The Fun Boy 3 song was never big here. But I like both versions. I might like the Fun Boy 3 song version a little bit better. It's very good. Saving All My Love for You by Whitney Houston.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she's saving herself. She realizes this dude's married, but she's saving herself for him.
Yeah.
She was saving him.
That's right.
I'm sure this has been played at weddings too. I'm saving all my love for you. Yeah. But this is not about
fit the circumstances. Yes.
Well, you'd mentioned earlier Him by Rupert Holmes. Well, you mentioned earlier Rupert Holmes,
and
the other song was Him,
yeah.
Which was also about an affair because, you know, he finds his old lady.
And he found
his cigarettes.
Someone smokes.
Not his brand, you understand. Sometimes a girl forgets. What else? You guys think of any other ones?
The other one.
Because I got a list here. I can just start reading them off if you guys want me to.
The other one I was real close to choosing was Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Oh,
and
yes.
This was Bret Michaels in the middle of the night decides he's at a laundromat in Texas. He's probably on the road. He decides to call up his girlfriend, and he hears a man in the background. And he's like, okay, what's going on there? And he said, sat down and wrote out the lyrics that night.
So that
is what inspired that. And I believe his girlfriend was a stripper. And if you cannot trust your stripper girlfriend when you're out of town,
who can you trust? Little Too Late by Pat Benatar. That's one I had on my list. Very, very easily could have done. When It's Over by Loverboy.
Yeah.
You know, she cheats on him, and he says, I hope you're with me when it's over. Like, he's so desperate, man. He doesn't care that he's being cheated on. He just waits. The Other Guy by Little River Band. Wife leaves him. And the other guy won't be around to talk to our kids. He won't understand when you're down the way that I did. That's a heartbreaker right there.
They had it all.
But it's an upbeat song. Like, yeah. How's it work? I Know There's Something Going On by Frida.
Yeah, that was the other one I had.
That was a big one.
That's a good one.
Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Wham. Let's see. Would I Lie to You by the Eurythmics. and I Can't Stand It by Eric Clapton. That's another one.
Yeah, Fooling Around, I Can't Stand It.
Family Man by Hall & Oates.
Ooh, yeah, I like that one.
I don't think he actually cheats.
No, because his bark was much worse than his bite, kind of like you.
Thank you.
Yes.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Let's preface it.
That one time.
Yeah, that one time. Like,
one moment on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean.
I did okay.
Matt, I'm so proud of you right now. Let's see, what's another one? Hungry Heart by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that very easily
could have been one. And Oh No by the Commodores. I Want You to Want Me. I'm Going Crazy Knowing He Will Be Your Lover Tonight. Which I guess could be a breakup song, too. That's next week. So we're going to close out here with one more cheating song. This was never a hit, but it comes from the soundtrack to the movie Married to the Mob. Don't worry about looking at it from your favorite streaming service, because it will not be there. This is Debbie Harry with Liar Liar. We'll see you next week, and we'll be talking all about breakup songs here on Living in the 80s. Guys, take care. God bless. See you next week.
So real.